John Blake presents Trapped, written by Della Wright and Linda Watson Brown, and read by Lauren Moakes. Prologue. October 1975. Something terrible was happening at the front door. To the front door. A banging the likes of which I'd never heard before. The sound was made worse by the rain beating on the window of my bedroom, making everything seem scary, making everything seem that much more terrifying. 2-year-old me cowered further into the recesses of my bed, crying and shaking. My arms were wrapped around my knees and I was trying not to imagine what could possibly come next. But the racket was relentless. I squeezed my eyes tightly shut, but although that closed out a lot, it didn't stop the pounding in my ears. My baby brother was wailing in his cot next to me, a noise that wouldn't stop, a noise that had been going on for what felt like hours. He was always crying, and there never seemed to be anyone there to make it better. I could hear shouting and the sense that someone was hitting the door time after time. Thud, 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 thud. A crash made it sound as if it had finally given way and I heard footsteps running into our flat. People came into my room and I sensed someone standing over me. Using every ounce of bravery I had, I opened my eyes and looked at the group of uniformed officers who were staring at the sight of me. Skinny, neglected, dirty, alone. Little more than a baby, little more than a scrap of life. Della? The policewoman closest to me asked. Della? Are you okay, love? Where's your mummy? Can you tell us where your mummy is, Della? No. No, I couldn't. I had no idea where my mummy was. Only that when she was there, things were even worse. Chapter 1. Stories. That's my first memory. Not a favourite dolly, not someone singing me a lullaby, but the police using a battering ram to get into the high-rise flat where Mum had left us alone. It can't have been the first time, but I think it was the final straw for a neighbour who contacted the police. They must have seen Mum do it on previous occasions, heard two tiny children cry all night and decided that this time, something had to be done. I'm sure there would have been other moments that weren't out of a perfect parent guidebook, but that one is stuck in my memory bank. Even if I close my eyes now, I can see the flat where I was left alone in my cot, my baby brother at the side of me, both left in stinking-filled nappies with empty stomachs, every shred of us neglected. The flat was a testament to that neglect. The carpets were black, sticky-backed tiles, which had been haphazardly attached to parts of the floor. There was a rancid cat litter tray which was never emptied, dirt everywhere, cans and tins left on kitchen surfaces, and not a single toy in the whole place. I wouldn't have been playing when the police came in, nor would I be holding a beloved teddy, because I had nothing apart from my imagination. From the first part of my life that I can recall, I would make up games in my head and disappear to other worlds. My favourite imaginary adventure was to pretend I was in a spaceship with dials on the wall that I could press. These dials would make the world in my head change colour or shape. They would make it sunny or give me a sky full of stars. I could choose whether to be alone or surrounded by strange little alien creatures, whether to go to the moon or visit another planet. Wherever I went, and whoever went with me would be something I held on to when real life crept in. The dials on the wall gave me everything as long as I could imagine it. In reality, there were no dials. There wasn't anything I could touch at all. It was all in my head because I was never given anything. I know that lots of families were, and are, poor, but children are creative. They'll play with empty boxes, making them into castles or caves. They'll draw on the backs of envelopes with a scrap of pencil worn down to the nub or make new worlds from hanging blankets on a clothes horse.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?